All right. Wow. Okay. Praise the Lord. Are we on? Is it on? Okay. Are y'all just going to stay up here? You just going to sit here? No, you're fine if you are. But I know Roy wasn't able to come, but you guys are definitely enough. Amen? Aren't they enough? Yeah. So, and thank you, Pastor. I never had anybody say that I was chemotherapy. So that was the first. I'm still trying. I'm like, chemo. Chemo in the Holy Ghost. No, honestly, what Pastor said, and I'm humbled by it, who knows that God knows everything. He knows us and he loves us, right? That's not a deep revelation. That's just something we ought to all believe. And when I came here, whatever I shared and however it came out, what Pastor said is, I want you to catch what he said. It empowered us to go through a certain time. Now, if you don't have the understanding to go through a certain time, then you don't get through the certain time. And then you have outcomes that didn't have to be if you'd have had understanding. And a lot of people catch that stuff later, then they have regrets. If I'd have knew that now, I wouldn't have. Are you with me? So that's why he says to the churches, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In all you're getting, get understanding, and my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Sometimes the lack of understanding is a bigger enemy than the things we think are the enemy. And we got to be super teachable and understand that, look, we've come this far. We got to understand, look, God loves us. He's good. He knows what he's doing. And if we'll listen and not just get through everything, but we'll manifest him. Woo! We'll manifest. Now you're going to have to pull me down a little bit. We'll manifest him through everything. So now that the Holy Ghost is here, no, he was here. He was already here. He was all. Is that God's going to speak to us to empower us to live through whatever we have to live through for the rest of our time here on this earth. Like, is that too far-fetched or is that possible? Okay, who knows we're all living through things? Who knows we have multiple things going on in our lives, coming at our lives? You can't take that personal. You can't make it about all that you're going through. You got to become something because of what he went through. And you got to be identified through that something. And that's what we're going to talk about here for a minute. And then that truth is what walks you through whatever it is. Are you with me? So we become something in Christ. We're not just here saved now and forgiven so God can make everything work the way we hope. We're saved and we're forgiven so God can come in us now and live in us and begin to live through us in the middle of everything we're experiencing. So there's a manifestation of Christ. It's not just in the deliverance. It's not just in the healing. It's not just in the miracle. There's a revelation and a manifestation of Christ in the midst of our lives, in the midst of whatever it is we're walking through. In other words, that's what it means to let your light so shine. We gotta pray. Let's pray. Father, this whole weekend, speak to us, father us, lead us, and guide us. And I'm asking you this from my heart. Anything it is in this life that we'll ever encounter, and empower us in a way that the manifestation of our lives would be you. That you would manifest your goodness, your greatness, your wisdom, your love. Would you let us catch this weekend that you want to reveal yourself not just to us, but through us in every situation in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Okay, I'm just going to talk to you now. I'm just going to cut loose a little. Is it still cutting out? Oh, let's just get... Okay, here we go. All right, let's just go for this. I'm going to be a little foundational with you. First night, I think we're doing something, Pastor can cover that. I think we're actually doing something that maybe wasn't scheduled tomorrow morning if you want to come, but we're going to have a couple sessions together if you come. We're just going to let it rip, okay? Peter said, I don't want you to think it's strange when you're going through these certain things, and just understand your brothers all over the world are going through certain things. Sometimes we identify with what we're going through. Sometimes we identify with the way life is going. Sometimes, just let them work that out. Don't be distracted by a few crackles and pops, all right? See, because that's the stuff, that's like the stuff, what's happening right there is the stuff what life tries to do. So there's a little static in life, and a little distraction. The next thing you know, all you see is what you wish would change, or what you wish never happened, or are you following what I'm saying? And if you're not careful, if you don't have a higher revelation of who Christ is in you and why, then it's all about just getting through that season. That's why a lot of people aren't super encouraged, because something's been going on in their life for a while. Somebody's been acting up for a while. Somebody hasn't come back for a while. Somebody's been gone for a while. And all of a sudden you're weighing all that, and all of a sudden you look at how things are going in your life, and then that begins to dictate, whether subtly or loudly, who you are and how you're doing. And then who you are and how you're doing is revealed in how life is unfolding. Then it dictates all your prayer to start praying to God for that to all change. So see, that sounds normal to some of us, and some of us, that's all we've ever heard. So we're like, well, yeah, but what else are you supposed to do? Because God can change things, God can fix things. No, no, no. God wants to change me. First and foremost, God wants to change me. God wants to get me so free from me, from myself, from concerns, from cares, from worries, to where trials and tribulations and stuff, it can never move me except make a draw on who Christ is in me this way. So watch this. So when you squeeze me, y'all from Florida, when you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. When you squeeze a Christian, you get Christ. Now, come on, a lot of us haven't been taught this. We haven't been thinking this. We just think, well, I don't want squeeze. Why are you talking squeeze? Is this prophetic? Am I about to get squeezed? See, because we don't have this revelation, we kind of get nervous at this kind of language. But if we had this revelation, we just simply understand. And see, I'm not picking a fight. I'm just not afraid of whatever happens because I have an answer on the inside of me. Why? Because my life is surrendered. I love not my own life unto death. I've denied myself. I'm picking up my cross and I'm following Jesus. Watch this. I'm not conformed to the world, but I'm being transformed by thinking like I never thought before. Are you with me? So why are all these scriptures in your Bible? To walk you through life in Christ to where you have an impact. Not survive, have an impact. Not get by, have an impact. Are you with me? Look, it's one thing if you're betrayed, if you're done wrong, if you cheated out of something, and you're praying for people to repent, people to break, and God knock them off their high horse, and why'd you let them do that to me in the first place since I'm your child? Come on, that's what people do. And they get all caught up in what happened, and they become a product of what happened. And they start manifesting the effects of what happened. It begins to be their language. It begins to be their prayer life. It begins to be their story, and ultimately their identity. And then you ask them how they're doing, and they say, man, keep me in prayer, because for the last 3 months. And they repeat it over and over and over and over. And the whole time, we're letting that one thing that happened dictate my disposition, my emotions, my expression, my attitude, and ultimately my heart. Now, come on, that's a good quiet. I feel a good quiet right now. I got your attention. I can hear it in my heart. You're like, y'all like this. You ought to see you all, everybody. Everybody looks like that at the same time. That's a good thing. When it looks like a deliverance meeting, you're wondering what's going on. Like. But everybody's like, it's a good thing. Trust me, I'm up here a lot. It's a good thing. But see, you're getting that, see? But if we don't address this stuff, like, who knows that if everything would go great, that would be amazing. Who knows if nobody would ever do you wrong, that would be pretty awesome.
But see, I'm not threatened by that, nor am I praying for that to happen or not happen. And not even thinking about that. I'm over here getting formed in Christ, staying in fellowship with God, and understand why the Spirit of God lives inside of me. I'm yielded to Him. I'm surrendered to Him. He's empowering me. He's building me up in Him. He's giving me identity in Him. He's loving me. Yeah? Why? So that in the midst of life, I can reveal Him and make Him known no matter what situation it is. That's why Paul said he's content no matter how it's going. He can have plenty or he might not have enough, all the same to him. How can that be true? And he ain't just talking hypo-spiritual and trying to be in denial and sound like he's really all that. Because he's content in God, because the manifestation of God is his highest priority. So even if he doesn't have enough, he knows truth hasn't changed. He knows why Christ is in him hasn't changed. He's never going to let the situation become Lord and dominate his life when Jesus is Lord. Are you with me? And I've seen a lot of good-hearted people that see their need for a Savior. They're not hypocrites. They're not evil. They're good-hearted people that love God the best they understand God, but they get all caught up in the circumstances of life, and then they never live steady and steadfast. They never grow up into Him and grow up in the light. Then they start living like this, and they're up and down, and they just keep looking, and they get in this cat-and-mouse game of situations and circumstances where they're just always believing for God to change this, do this, open this, close this, and then they get all focused on that, and how that is happening and unfolding is deciding what they're expressing. Does that make sense? That's why discouraged people show up at church on Sunday that are born again. Oh yeah, that one didn't go over big. Watch this. The reason I said that and smiled is because discouragement's unscriptural. We just think it's normal. But the only reason you're discouraged is because you're thinking for who? You ain't thinking for the kingdom. Come on, if you're discouraged, who are you thinking for? If you're all broken up, if you're offended, if you're hurt, if you're disappointed, who's your focus? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? The only thing you're seeking the kingdom for is to change what you're discouraged about. That's the only thing you're seeking the kingdom for. But you ain't seeking the kingdom for a greater revelation of who you are in the middle of that thing so that you can see different, so you can be empowered to walk through. Watch what Scripture says in Hebrews 12:3. It says, consider Him. That would be a good thing to consider Him. Who? Jesus. Who are we looking to? We're looking unto who authored our faith. Who's going to finish our faith or consummate it or bring it to completion? So I'm never going to walk this thing out unless I keep my eyes on Him and how He responded and what He's all about. So I'm going to look unto Jesus. So in Hebrews 12:3, it says, consider Him. Who am I considering? Him. What am I considering? Who endured such hostility against Himself from sinners, lest you be weary and discouraged in your souls. What's He saying? He said people came at Jesus all the time. People pressing all the time, criticizing, backbiting, trying to trick, trap, not appreciating, falsely accusing, judging, nonstop. And then they get to arresting Him. And it just fascinates me that He let men hit Him, that God let men beat on Him to the point of beating Him beyond description and then tacking Him on that tree. Consider Him. At least you think you have some reason to be discouraged. See, who is Jesus? He's our Savior. Who is Jesus? Our forgiveness of sins. Who is Jesus? Our way to the Father. He's all these things, so you keep answering His questions. But this is what I'm talking about. Like, so who is Jesus? He's my model for life, because He's not just revealing the Father to me, He's revealing what I was intended to be by the Father. He's showing me who the Father is, but He's showing me who I'm created to be according to the will of the Father, the predestination of the Father. Like, the heart of the Father for man was to manifest God. He made man in His image. Come on, it's clear. He made man in His own likeness. That got lost through sin, and man got separated from God. And every man was born into Adam, and you must be born Again, we've turned born again into a beneficial prayer that blesses me and takes me to heaven when I die, instead of the answer of a new life that brings transformation and old things are dead. So if we're not careful, we're preaching a gospel that serves me without transforming me. Now, I don't know about you, but you don't want that gospel. That only sounds good to self-centeredness. That gospel only sounds good to the flesh. The Spirit understands that ain't the gospel. You're not a Christian for you. You're not a Christian to survive. You're not a Christian to get through and get by. You're a Christian for His glory and His great name. Are you with me? Come on, I got tons of scripture on that. Like, that's why we're saved. We got saved from ourselves. We got forgiven of sin. We got delivered from a motive that we were living by. Self-centeredness, self-will, me, myself, and I. We got delivered from all that. We're following Jesus. So if we follow Jesus, Matthew 16, you got to deny yourself. So now we're going to consider Him who endured such hostility against Himself, lest we make the mistake of taking it personal and getting discouraged, even though life is on the inside of us. Are you with me? So where's the victory in that? The victory is not letting somebody that betrayed you dictate who you are and who you're going to be, to where that becomes the story of your day and the story of your life. You don't overcome evil with evil. You overcome evil with good. You don't tone down a harsh word with a harsh word. You tone down a harsh word with a kind word. So when Jesus hangs on the cross, He's not passive. He's not a wimp. He's not a doormat. When He hangs there and says, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do," that's a game changer for me. That teaches me something. He's hanging on the cross, and the best love can say is, "Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." What's He saying? They don't know who they are. They don't know what they're created for. They wouldn't be doing this to me if they knew who they were. But if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. It's not because He's judging. It's not because He's giving man what they're worth. It's because He's loving and forgiving and opened the door for salvation. He's showing mercy and letting it triumph over judgment. He's covering a multitude of sin with love. And where sin's abounding, God's empowerment called grace is coming more. This is what it means to look to Jesus. See, I can't say I'm following Him unless I'm living all this. What's following Him mean? We just think it's miracles and healings. It's called walking in love and living by the Spirit. So where when you see me, you see who? The Father. He said, "Why do you ask? Show me the Father. Don't you know? Have I been with you so long and you still don't realize? When you see me, you've already seen Him." That same Jesus said to me to follow Him. Why? So that when you see me, you get a good look at the Father. Why? Because God said, "Let us make man in our image." You see what the cross does? It restores us back to this one truth where we get to be one with God, and He lives in us and we live in Him. And He manifests Himself through us in every situation. That's why we're following Jesus. You'll never fulfill the Christian life unless you learn what it means to love not your own life unto death. We always say, how do we overcome? And we can whoop it up in church. We learn how to do some good church. And we whoop it up. We say, how do we overcome it? You're all jamming out. And I like the sax, by the way. Seriously, man, that's like my favorite instrument. Sax, my favorite instrument. My daddy was a trumpet player my whole life, so I grew up hearing a lot of brass and stuff. But that was my main one right there, buddy. Yeah. So we could whoop it up. And he could break loose and do a little solo. And you all could be jamming out. And the drums could be tearing it up. And the guitar's hitting it. And we could say, how do we overcome? And everybody say, through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we're just going at it. And that's where we always stop. Blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Whoa. I've been in countless church services. Preacher, yeah, how do we overcome? Blood of the Lamb and word of our testimony. And they stop right there. And the very next verse says, and they loved not their own lives unto death. You got to understand what makes the first two so powerful and gives them a landing strip is the love not your own life. The blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony isn't for your sake. It's for His great name's sake to be manifested through all the earth. It's not just so you get a victory in your circumstances. You love not your own life unto death. It's how they overcame. The accuser came and accused them before their God day and night. Isn't that what it says? Day and night. And they overcame him through the blood of the Lamb, which qualified us, cleansed us, stepped us through forgiveness, right, into forgiveness, and through our sin into righteousness. Boom! We have access to God. That's the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. That's amazing. That's the truth behind what he accomplished and who I am now that he came. And what makes it all stick to where it's not just a confession, a positional, spiritual, theological truth, but an absolute reality is I love not my own life unto death. So I'm not in this for me. I'm in this for his great name, and that means then I'm in this for you. Why? So that my life can be lived as a manifestation of Christ, so all can come unto him. Are you with me? So when I'm betrayed, I don't live betrayed. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. You say, oh, they know what they're doing. They betrayed you on purpose. No, no, no. If they had a deep revelation and really knew who they were and understood the gospel, they wouldn't be living the way they're living. So they're lost and bound and blind and deceived. And why would I ever let what they don't see become my highest vision? Why would I be dictated by something someone did that's wrong? And why would I make it a big issue? Why do I need an attorney? Why do I have a story? And why do I let that thing take one moment of my life in Christ? Are you with me? Well, I wouldn't be this way if it wasn't for, well, I don't know what, well, they started, well, you know, well, you should be talking to them. Well, you know what we've done our whole lives. Come on. Jesus said, follow me. There was a time he looked all alone, people. He said, follow me. He got struck and all his boys scattered. And truth didn't change. And neither did Jesus. In fact, I read on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. We better make sure on the night we're betrayed, we ain't calling a friend and crying and telling them all the details. And then we crying out, calling to prayer. Oh, but Lord, you got to move. You got to. He's like, I already moved. Why are you believing what they did? Why aren't you believing what I did? Don't you even know who you are? Don't you see your response? You have a whole different. You see what happens? See, now, I went to church my whole young life, but nobody ever taught me this. They just told me I was a sinner. I needed forgiving. It was strange because they made sure that I would know that I was still just going to be a sinner. But I needed saved. I needed forgiven, but I was still going to be a sinner, but at least I'm going to be a forgiven one. And then when the bell rings one day, I'm going to be on the right side of the fence. That's the only gospel they ever taught me. So I was about 18, and then I just quit going to church. I was hopefully a forgiven sinner. Nobody told me I was a son. Nobody told me I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Nobody said that the Spirit of God wanted to live in me and have communion with me and fellowship with me and lead me and guide me in all truth and bear witness of Jesus and manifest him and bring him glory. Yeah. So I found all that out later. But I found it out. Yeah, buddy. And you ain't talking me out of it now. So I'm 27 years into finding this out. Now, don't think nobody didn't do me no wrong in 27 years. Don't think I haven't had challenges. Don't think I didn't lose some folks. Don't think some stuff didn't happen in my life. Yeah? Come on, look at the color of my hair. I've been to some funerals. Yeah. And a whole handful of them were even younger than me. I buried a couple friends. Come on, I ain't talking about nothing ever going against the way you hope. I'm talking about no matter what happens, that book can't change. Why I'm here on the planet and why the Spirit of God lives in me. You catch this. If you get one thing the rest of the weekend, get this right here. This almost feels like punchline stuff. Like Christ is inside of me, right? I'm going to live my whole life. And I'm going to live my whole life in Christ Jesus. And no matter what comes, no matter what happens, no matter what unfolds along the way, I have this one response. to live Christ, to manifest Christ in the middle of that moment. So everything that was done according to that book is going to be the same on the heels of my biggest challenges. So the biggest trials I've ever been through, when I open that book, the same thing's there. So it's not about me reacting to the trial, it's about me responding to truth till truth makes me free. So that in the middle of the trial, it makes a draw on Christ. When you squeeze that orange down here in Florida, what fills the cup? Orange juice. When you squeeze a Christian, why does everything but Christ fill the cup? So if you were the enemy, what would you do? Just squeeze the people that go to church. Because they might not realize they are her, they might just think they attend her. So just squeeze the church, because then you'll find out what they see, what they don't see, what they believe, what they don't believe. Just put them in a little bit of pressure and see what comes out of them. Come on, it's simple. If you were the devil, you don't have to be creative. Just put a little pressure. Just squeeze somebody. Somebody on fire. Somebody that just got touched. Somebody that just got a good word. And then it says the heat of the day comes, but there's no root in them. And that thing withers quickly, about as fast as it sprung up. Is that in your Bible, Mark 4? I've read it. It's in there. Circumstances. It's trials. Do you ever tell somebody what they ought to do and how to respond to something, and then the same thing happened to you, and you found yourself in the same thing you were counseling them in? That ain't an accident. That's the devil saying, okay, hot shot, you got all the answers. Let's see if you even believe what you told them. Listen, no matter what I'll ever face from the time from now till Jesus takes me off this earth, no matter what it is, the reason why I'm here and why he's in me will never change. Come on, that's the punchline of what I'm saying. No matter what happens, no matter what decisions the people closest to me make, even if I was pastoring you all and y'all just said we don't believe in Jesus anymore, I still have to respond to truth. You say, yeah, but brother, that would have to break your heart and blah, blah, blah. Maybe the world you're living in. Maybe in your rationale. But do I have to be in denial just because I'm not relating to the crowd? If I'm following Jesus, I'm not following the crowd. And if I don't see it in his life, why is it okay in mine? And if he said, as he is, so are we in this world. And the things I do, you'll do if you believe. Firstborn among many brethren. The body of Christ. Yeah. I want you super encouraged tonight. Does God do miracles? You better believe it. Does he heal? Does he move? Does he change people's hearts? Yeah. You just got to make sure that you and I, we got to make sure we lock into who he is and why, and who we are now that he came, so that life never speaks louder than truth. Because truth is the only place you're going to find freedom. And if your identity starts wrapping around what you're going through, then you're missing out on the identity you have through what he went through. And the biggest lie on the planet is when a man lives for himself in the name of the Lord. Biggest lie on the planet. You're not a Christian for you. If you're a Christian for you, you're not having a great time in Christianity. People are going to ask you how it's going. You're going to tell them your two biggest challenges. You're going to look sad and say, keep me in prayer. If you're living for you, your story is your circumstances. If you're living for his great name, your story just leads you to the manifestation of what you believe. And you're loving people that don't look lovable. You ain't changing the identity of people that have no clue who they are. You ain't giving up on folks. Your heart ain't hard. You ain't cutting nobody off. Oh, come on. I'm preaching to you a little. We all run revival. That's what it looks like. It's you alive on the inside. And then wouldn't it be neat? Wouldn't it be awesome, Pastor? I know we say this, but it would be neat if we wouldn't always have to think revival, because revive is to relive. That means something died. like we've been dead, so we need revived. Wonder if we could just live and stay alive. Like, wonder if we would see something that would bring life, that you lock into it and believe it, nothing can change it, and that's where the life is. And all of a sudden, you don't have highs and lows. Are you all with me? See, when you look at me, you don't know. I grew up an alcoholic dad family. My mom's sick 40 years. Last 15 of her life, she didn't even walk and get out of bed. You don't see that I got married young, that I was actually touched at a very young age wrong, about 4, the babysitter thing. I don't have a solid memory of it. I was just 4, but I know it happened. You can't see any of that. You can't see that my kids ran off and made some tough decisions, that my wife slipped into identity crisis, that I was full-time pastor and she wouldn't come to church because she was struggling. You don't see any of that. You don't see that my brother just fell over dead last October a year ago, just out of the blue with no warning. You just don't see any of it. You know why? You're not supposed to. Because none of that has anything to do with who I am and how I'm doing. And yet all those things I care about and all those people are dear to me. I guess I'm just here to try to tell you that I'm not on the earth for everything to go the way I hope. I'm on the earth to be like him in the middle of when it happens. Are you with me? It's called loving not your own life unto death. How do you deny yourself and continue to have rights to be things less than what you see in Jesus? Why do we have so many rights to be discouraged? Come on, people can get mad at this because they're so discouraged. They'll be like, oh, you need to get real and keep it real. You're in denial, brother. You just need to keep it real. This is about as real as it gets, because I don't see Jesus discouraged. I'm following him, not our human experience. I'm not going to thump and trump the grace of God that wants to change me by saying, oh, yeah, but everybody has their moments, brother. I'm not believing that. I'm believing I can follow Jesus. Yeah, but you don't know what happened to me. Stop. You got to get a greater revelation of what happened for you through Jesus before we can even talk about that. Because you'll get reduced, and I said reduced, to just letting circumstances matter more than who he is in you and why. Are you with me? I'm going to be straight with you, and I'm not talking to you. I'm just here tonight. I'm talking about, at large, my experience. I haven't seen a whole lot of unspeakable joy among us. I haven't seen a whole lot of consistency. I haven't seen people actually fired up with joy unspeakable. I haven't seen the fruit of good tidings of great joy. I've seen a lot of discouragement, a lot of stories, a lot of justification for why we are whatever we are. And then we got to explain why we are whatever we are. Well, you don't, and our story is vital. You don't know what I've been through, brother. Well, you don't know what it was like. And then 2 years ago, really? And all of a sudden, and then what you do is you find people that hear that thing and they don't know how to respond. They just feel sorry that you've been through it. So they go, oh, man. And then that, for somehow, that supports you to stay wherever you are. And I'm not talking about being insensitive. I'm not talking about not understanding. I'm talking about not letting that thing define your life. If those little things I threw out at you are the story of my life and define my life, then I need ministry. You ought to take the mic, and somebody needs to help me. Because I've been through it, right? No, he's been through it. And he put the fruit of what he accomplished on the inside of me. And it took hold, because on that day I died. And Christ came alive. Are you following me? So when my wife is struggling and she won't even come to church and I'm a full-time pastor, if you don't understand what I'm saying, that's pressure right there. Be real with me, that's pressure right there. And people whispering, where's his wife? And I wonder what's wrong. And then you at home trying to force her to come, making it all about you and how you feel and the pressure you're under and what she's doing. And I got enough on me already. Don't you understand? How can you do this to me now? You got to come and support and show yourself. And I mean, well, how am I supposed to? Her situation, that it was deception. Look, my wife's hurting. When that's happening, she's hurting. She's believing wrong things. She's not evil. My wife is amazing. She's very loving, very kind, very sensitive. I believe the devil wants to take the strongest things in your life and pervert them and try to crush them and keep them from ever coming to pass. And then you can just make it about you. You know, people say, oh, this is happening to her because of the calling on my life. Devil's using her as a pawn because of the calling on my life. She's got a calling to live Christ. She's got a calling to manifest Christ. You're not like, well, look, this is just happening to you because of the calling on my life. Don't feed into it. And it's just trying to put pressure. Come on, there's all kinds of stuff people are saying. But it's usually rooted in self. It's usually not kingdom-minded. So here's how Holy Spirit has taught me to think. Is my wife in trouble when she's in this position? Does she need truth? Does she need Jesus? Does she need a revelation of Jesus? Guess where he lives? So if he lives in me, why do I have time to be a frustrated, discouraged, overwhelmed husband? Where do I find that privilege when I died to myself? Come on, I come to preach strong to you right now. Where do I have permission to be all those things I'm supposed to be if I'm keeping it real? And none of them produce life. They just give me permission to be whatever I am that don't look like him. And then the whole time I'm praying for a miracle and I'm praying for God to change her instead of grow me up into him in all things. All of a sudden she's the problem, and then things don't work out, and now I'm just kind of like got regret in my heart, and if she won the man, and 3 years after it happened, brother, I'm more resentful than when it happened, because I'm just meditating on it. Come on, you know I'm telling the truth. This is what happens. And the whole time, I don't even know I'm doing it. I'm tricked into feeling sorry for myself. But how's that possible when I said I denied myself? I come to preach to you a little bit and stir you up. I mean, I'm all about God answering people's prayers and stuff, but I'm about you living Christ every day in the face of whatever. Are you with me? That went on for 8 years. People go, 8 years? See, they get all caught up in time. And they're in marital situations. They're going, no, Pastor, don't tell me 8 years. I couldn't take no 8 years. Well, you can't take 8 years because you didn't take 8 hours. It's like if you don't see it, you ain't taking it. So 8 days is 8 years. But it works this way with God, too. A day is 1,000 years. So I'm asking Christians, why is the 8 years the issue, and why does 8 years have the power to change truth? Man, that's just good right there. Why do we give time, permission to change truth? Well, brother, 8 years is a long time. You ask Jesus if that's true. You ask Jesus if coming and camping out in the womb of a woman for 9 months, hanging out on the earth for 30 years before he even was announced. See, I think we turned this into Easter Christmas stuff. And we forget this is a real God that came as a real man. And he sat in the womb of a woman named Mary for 9 months. God hung out right there. And he had to come through her birth canal and do it just like a man to win back what man lost. come in the likeness of sinful flesh. You ask him if that was inconvenience. You ask him if that was sacrifice. You ask him if that was the manifestation of love. Come on, we're talking right now. We just make it all about us, and we don't even realize we're doing it. We just want to get saved for me, because we don't want to go to a bad place. So we use heaven and hell as our motivator, because it works with self-centered mentality. But the people that are getting saved so they don't go to hell, I don't see them manifesting Christ. I'm not going to come here and try to trick you into an emotional decision and make it about you. I'm going to say, no, you are the biggest problem. And until you die and get out of the way, you can never truly live. You can still sing to him. You can pray. You can lead worship. You can preach itinerary. You can go on mission trips. You can feed the poor. But that ain't what makes you Christian. Christian means little Christ-like one. It's not doing Christian-flavored things. It's living Christ. Are you all with me? There ain't no one. Here's what's so fair about what I'm saying, and so powerful to me. There ain't no one in this room. There ain't no one in this room that can't sincerely say yes to what I'm saying. But you have to decide if you want to. And I guess that's what it always boils down to. Do we want to get stuck just living for him? Do we want to live in him and through him? Or we just want his blessing? If I'm a Christian, and only a Christian for his blessing, protection, favor, I'm going to miss it terribly. Because how that's working out in my life and how I weigh that is going to determine what I'm manifesting. If I didn't understand what I'm preaching to you, that little scenario in my marriage a long time ago that lasted 8 years, we'd be a statistic. And I'd justify it. If I didn't have that revelation I just preached to you, I would grow weary in well-doing. I would draw flesh lines that say, I can't take anymore. Wonder if God watched your life when you were being willful and just one day said, I can't take anymore. Wonder if he convicted you and you knew better and still went another direction and he said, I've had enough. You can only take so much. I got enough on my plate as it is, watching over the whole world. And then this little willful one that I've wooed wants to go off and down that street. Forget it. Come on. Why is it fair to bring that into mind? Because we're made for his image. And all we know is what we were trained by. Adam, separate from God. Every one of us was raised in a self-centered whirlwind, man. Every one of us from the time we were born had no clue who we were, no identity, no value. We depended and didn't even realize it, totally dependent on our environment and surroundings and the people in our lives. And you needed love, you needed support, you needed protection, you needed valued, you needed appreciated. And most of us didn't get a fraction of what's on that list. And the enemy is sure to keep that thing all stirred up and then make that your lifelong story, which becomes the justification of me. So at a very young age, you're nothing more than how you responded to how it unfolded, and that's your story. And now you don't have value because, and deep inside, you don't think much of yourself because, and everything that's identifying you is the way life has unfolded. It has nothing to do with life in him. It's very personal, very self-focused, very self-centered, and very deceived. Because the whole time, his blood is speaking better things. Yeah? Come on, you know this is true. Insecurity, identity crisis, self-conscious, self-justified, self-defense. We were trained by it. We were born into it. You must be born again. We were trained by it and taught. He said, take of me, eat of me, learn of me. He said, call no one on earth your teacher. You got one. He's the Christ. I was taught by all this stuff. Inadvertently, just homeschooled in the wrong home through Adam's sin. I just ended up in the wrong class. And all the teaching was wrong. It was all worldly. It's the sway of the wicked one. It was all human wisdom and human reasoning. And it makes sense to men. It's the way that seemeth right. Yes, yes. It sure seems right. They did what to you? Oh, baby, come here. Ooh, yeah, I can't believe. Now see, there's a place for compassion, but you can cross the line quick and just get into sentimental, and now you're actually empowering pain. You're actually sealing identity and story. That's why hurting people surround themselves with people that only understand their pain. They call that support. Support what? Support of the pain. If my life isn't looking like Jesus and manifesting Christ, the last thing I need is somebody in my life to understand that and why and keep me there. I need somebody to wrap their arm around me, Pastor, and say, listen, I hear your story and it breaks my heart, and I wish people wouldn't do that to each other. And I'm sorry you were part of that. And I'm sorry. But listen, here's what you need to see. You're so much more than that. And that's not motivational speaking, kiddo. Like, none of what you just told me should be given such a power and a right to dictate the rest of your life, your identity, your future outlook. Are you kidding me? Christ died on the cross and said, you're so much more. Why would you let somebody that doesn't see a thing and blind and deceived do something to you and cause you to live the rest of your life blind and deceived? No, you come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out of the darkness into the light. Be delivered from that place and stand in Christ. Yeah? Come on, it's true. So we get born again as if we never lived before. And we all quote this stuff, but think about it. We put off the... What do? We put it off. And guess what we do? We put on the new. Who's the new? It's Colossians 3:10. Renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That's what we put on. And that doesn't sound like exasperated, frustrated, and mad at my wife when she's struggling. Are you hearing me? We've mishandled each other. We've allowed each other's weakness to become our highest strength. We've let what people didn't see become our vision. And the whole time, he's the light of the world. He's the answer to restoring sight to the blind. And that's not always just physical blindness. Are you all with me tonight? So listen, here's a raw truth. When I'm in a service like this, preaching like this, it just all boils down to, so what do you want to do? Like... You can hear what I'm saying. It ain't parables. You ain't trying to figure it out. It's too simple. It's too many examples. You ain't sitting there going, what's this man trying to say? There ain't nobody hearing that. There ain't nobody like, what? Now you might be going, what? But you're not trying to figure out what I'm trying to say. It's not rocket science. It's clear. It's simple. And it's all based on his word and his life. So what it boils down to is, what do you do with revelation? Do you want to become love? Do you want to live Christ? Or do you just want his blessing, his favor, his provision, and his protection? Or do you want his manifestation, the revelation of Christ, reveal his glory, and live by his Spirit? Are you following me? See, because the Christ in me is the hope of glory. Now, you can do a 3-day conference on glory. I'm not diminishing the glory of God. It's a beautiful topic. But very simply, the glory of God is defined as any manifested, seen, realized attribute of God. So anything about who he is, Moses said, show me your glory, and God let his goodness pass by. Why? God's goodness is the glory of God. God's forgiveness is the glory of God. God's loving kindness is the glory of God. God's mercy is the glory of God. Right? So any man, and actually that's a fruit of righteousness. So the work of righteousness is any expression or attribute of the nature of God. But any realization of the person of God, because he's your majesty, yeah? Any manifestation of the person of God is the glory of God. So the Christ in who is the hope of the manifestation of God. Let me say it this way. The Christ in you is the hope of God being seen and realized. And that doesn't sound like unforgiveness, hurt, and discouragement. And I don't go to that church anymore. No, I used to be a good church. Something just happened to pastor. Well, did you talk to the pastor? Nah, he ain't gonna listen. You know how pastors are. Well, did you pray for him? I mean, you know how pastors are. You see what happens to folks? So then you know what they do? They go church shopping one, maybe two more times, and after the third time the product didn't work, they just gave up on it. You should go to church, but you know how Christians are. Well, I thought you're a Christian. No, I'm a believer. Well, what? And now we're calling ourselves other things. I'm a follower of Christ. Well, if you're a follower of Christ, you don't have issues in your heart for pastor. You're praying for him and you're weeping. You're not frustrated and discouraged. And even if the man is messing up, you should be caring enough to believe for him and speak life and truth over him, not criticize, backbite, and whisper. But then you're going to say, I'm a follower of Christ because the name of Christian has been damaged. The name of Christian has been damaged because we haven't manifested Christ. Come on, it don't get any better than that right there. That right there is clear. I can hear it. See, I don't think we've loved well. And I'm talking about you in this room. I'm talking about us as a people. And if you in this room fit it, just say, oops, yep, that's changing. I mean, if the slipper fits, just be Cinderella for 30 seconds, kick the slipper off. Say, nope, I'm not going to live there anymore. Ooh, that fit. Ah, kick it off. It's called repentance. Duh. Repentance isn't, it can be, but it's rare that that's repentance. Repentance is usually, duh, what? No way. Oh, it's a turn. It's a change. It's not boo-hoo, I'm sorry. It's, wow, I see it now. And when you see it, you can become it, and you won't live the lie anymore. So the eye now is more single than it's ever been before. And if my eye is single, my whole body is flooded with light. Unless, of course, your wife is in a deep depression, doesn't come to church, and it's less than 8 years. Oh, it doesn't say that, does it? Says if my eye's single, my whole body's flooded with light, period. So if I see clear, I'll be clear. It's called loving not your own life unto death. Not only seeking your own interest, but also the interest of others. Laying down your life. What's a friend do? Lay down their life for another. You get it? And it's not a sacrifice. It's a freedom. Because if I'm carrying the care of myself, that's a burden and torment. Come on, if I'm thinking for me in the middle of that, how am I getting through if I'm thinking of me? If this is all about me and what she's doing, create the position I'm in, how she ain't supporting, how she's supposed to be there for me, and she says she loves me, and she vowed and vetted for worse, and blah, 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 and she called that one stupid lie, and I told her it ain't true, and she's still choosing to believe it, and all of a sudden, I think the devil, and she's just working, I don't even know which side she's on. Ah! All that is language that reveals you're only thinking for you.
I'm telling you, you look at Jesus' life and you ask him what he thinks about what I'm saying. They beat him and beat him and beat him for doing nothing wrong. And the whole time he knows he's totally right. And he let them beat him. So who knows, he can say, if they slap you on the cheek, give them the other one. But see, we don't even get that. We're like, hey, slap me on the cheek. I ain't no Passover pushover Christian. I ain't letting them walk over me and abuse me. Is that what Jesus, just a pushover? Or is he the manifestation of God? You see, the expression of love. Is he the reason we're saved? Because if God wasn't like that, he wouldn't have sent him to save us. Because he's got issues and we can't repay. Come on, we forget all this. We forget this, that the whole reason for the, maybe we've never even told this clearly. The whole reason of the gospel is not to take me to heaven and God to fill my vats and barns while I'm here. It's to put his life back into me and redeem why he made man in the first place. The whole purpose of the cross is for the restoration of the truth of why we're here. It's not for blessings. For the manifestation of Christ, that is the blessing. When I get to love my wife in this situation, and now today reap the fruit of it, and I didn't do it to reap the fruit of it, but I sure am reaping the fruit of it. Because my wife saw his first love through me. And it eventually broke all the lies. And now my wife is locked in and understands she's saved and God loves her and she loves people and she's a woman of prayer and she weeps for people in prayer and it's awesome. Yeah. And my wife, she lays down her life for me, but I never asked her to. She would die for me. She would jump in front of a car if she thought it would save me. But I wake up to love her. And now she wakes up to love me. That sounds like a good day. So we're not needy. We're not set up to fail each other and break each other's heart. Marriage, 50-50, lot of work, you know. I wish we'd throw that teaching back where it belongs. Marriage is, I love you. And I prove it by the way I live, not the way I talk, especially in about a week and a half coming up here. I try to make up for it on a day. Send some big flowers and a bunch of I love yous and let it ride for another year. God have mercy. I know this doesn't sound positive when I say it. I am convicted by it. We need to change this. I think it can change. But I'm convinced in my own heart, God would have to show me I'm thinking wrong. But I believe the three words that's done the most damage on the planet are the words, I love you. Because we get so needy and we need to hear it and we say it at opportune times and we say it for self-centered reasons. So the words, I love you, I believe has caused way more pain than it ever has blessing. Because we use it in a self-centered way. And when we say, I love you, and there's self-centeredness in your life, what you're actually saying is, I need you. So don't break my heart. Don't let me down. Don't jump ship. I don't know what I'd do without you. I don't know how I'd live without you. We say stuff like that and think it's romantic. It's idolatry. There's only one that deserves that. Like, we shouldn't even be flattered. Ladies, don't even get tricked by that. If some guy starts talking like that, you ought to say, dude, you better get a revelation. You're talking about Jesus, right? And I'm not talking about the Jesus in me, the Jesus supposed to be in you. Because I answer everything. And I ain't flattered by your speech. Woo, come on. But you know what happens? You know what happens? People get needy. Codependent. Sometimes they need to be needy. And they find their identity through being needy. instead of living Christ.
And all these little foxes creep in with the hope of stealing the fruit that's supposed to be on every vine. Are y'all with me? So what do we do about all this that I'm talking about? I wish we'd have an altar call where we could all just die. Like literally, just die. And then have this breath come over us called Christ. We all just be laying. Have the paramedics, yep, they're dead. Yep, Michael, he's gone. Just send the sheet. They're out. They're gone. There's no pulse here. Check every one of us dead. Breath of life comes. Wouldn't that be good? We've tried it in water baptism. We hold them under till all the bubbles stop. Then we wait about 40 seconds or so after the last convulsion. Then you know you got them. And then you just trust God. You pull them up. And if they don't, at least you know where they went. And you just convince the family with the good news. We don't grieve as if we have no hope. And we keep on going. So we're having a baptism tomorrow. And I'm, no, there's a funny truth there that's actually super serious. If you look at Scripture clearly, if you don't die to everything that was, you can never live to everything that is. It's the truth. If you don't die to everything that was, you'll never live to everything that is in Him. And there's a whole lot of folks holding on to what was. There's a whole lot of people looking in the mirror and they see yesterday instead of today in Christ. They see who didn't love them, who wasn't there for them. They still need their parent that's been AWOL to say, I love you. You don't need that. I know it feels that way. It's sentimental, emotional. I don't know if in my whole life I've ever heard my dad say, I love you. I am not living for the day my dad says, I love you. I've been loved by God. So now I can actually have a love for my dad. I can actually pray for my dad in sincerity. Not so that he gets knocked off his horse and sees he loves me and tells me so I can fall apart. Oh, he said he loved me. Stop. But some of us get tricked into this stuff and we think until some of these little things happen, we can't be okay. And I'm telling you, you're deceived. The one thing that needed to happen has happened. And you can be okay. Are you with me? Because if not, you're always lacking. If not, you got all these things that have to come to pass. You need people, all these little ducks in a row. Whose ducks are in a row? If this wasn't true, Jesus wouldn't have been okay almost the whole way through his ministry. Did you ever see Jesus bummed out? Did you ever see him like in the morning, like at daybreak in Scripture, just sitting on a rock, just kind of looking at the ground? Peter trying to like, what's wrong, Lord? Well, just thinking, Peter, you know. I don't know. I mean, I know what Scripture says, and I mean, I'm giving all my heart to it, but these people, face-to-face reality is tough, man. It's like you just hear them, the bickering, the backbiting. They don't appreciate a thing you do or say. You feed them, they don't care what you're saying. They just want more food. They don't want to listen. They misread your word. They twist everything you say. I don't know. I'm a little overwhelmed today. I'm just thinking about these people, and I'm going to go out there today. They're going to throng me and don't even really want to hear me. They just want healed and fed. I don't know. I think I'm just hanging back, Peter. Lord, I've never seen you. Don't get on me, Peter. You don't even know the shoes I'm in. Just, look, take the boys. Just go. I'm going to hang back. I ain't handling it today. I just don't feel like dealing with folks. Now, wouldn't that be weird? So when you put Jesus in that language, it's weird. Why isn't it weird when that's our language? If we're made for his image. If the things he does, will do, if we believe. So there's what it is, guys. It boils right back down to what do we believe. So I'm not saying we're not sincere. I'm not saying we don't see our need for a Savior. No way. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying what do we believe? Have we really surrendered? Do we know what it means to really give up ourselves and die to ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him? It's a prayer.
It's obviously a commitment, but it's more a mentality, if that's fair. It's a perspective to where you say, wow, nobody owes me anything. God has given me life for one reason, to manifest his life to the world. Come hell or high water, that is never going to change. The reason I'm on the earth and the reason he's in me is to reveal him in the middle of life. And nobody owes me a thing. I've said it. I've been in so many churches. I say, if you take one thing out of the weekend, take this one thing. Nobody owes me a thing. If you can believe that and see that for what I'm saying it for, that'll empower you through every situation. Nobody owes you a thing. If I wake up for my wife to love me, I'm devastated. Then she becomes my valid justification for whatever it is I am. I've just reduced her, instead of being my wife, to some false lord in my life, to where I'm dependent on her to be okay, when Lord means to govern. It's the governing factor. It's the supreme being, the Lord of my life, the supreme governing factor. Like, there's other definitions for Lord, but that's a good one concerning your life. Who's governing your life? Who's deciding your life? Who's the supreme being and factor of your life? If I say I'd be in a different place if it wasn't for my wife, I've just made her what she's never created to be. She's the Lord of my life. She's not supposed to be. She's my wife, and I'm supposed to love her. Are you all with me? I mean, if we would just get this, our homes would be different. Our marriages would be amazing. Do you know why there's tension in marriages? Because there's self-centeredness. There's that need to be right. Why is it that we can't disagree without tension? Like, it's not that we always agree on everything. We're not talking some fairy tale thing here. Sometimes we just don't see things the same. But why does there have to be tension in the middle of disagreement? Because we have a need for people to agree with us. We have a need to be right. We don't like to seem wrong. We don't like them to think they're right, which would make me wrong. Come on, I'm just talking this thing out. There is tension and disagreement all the time. And then they turn into silent treatments in the marriages. And then we're like, honey, are you getting, I'm fine. And you do a little attitude, you're fine. It's like saying, I'm not fine, I'm fine. And when you're saying you're not, you're fine, you're saying you're not fine. And then your spouse pushes you a little and you're like, look, just back off and be secure. I'm fine, okay? I told you I'm fine. Then in the morning, you're coming in for breakfast. You're going to leave to work. She's going to go to work. And now it's a little tense because it's unresolved conflict. And it's over disagreement. Happens all the time in Christian homes. And then you're like, good morning. Well, hey, are you excited to see me? You didn't even seem excited to see me. Are you still mad about last night? I told you I wasn't mad last night. Let's not start this again. Okay, fine. Then you don't say much the rest of the breakfast. Give a little peck on the cheek and you're out the door. And there's tension. There's unresolved. It's just self-centered delusion. It's deception. But you keep living like that. Then you start saying, I don't think I love you anymore. Stuff starts laying over your emotions. Next thing you know, you fell out of love. It was never love in the first place. It was, I need you. And you ain't pulling weight where I need you. Guess what love does? Takes no account of the wrong done to it. Why? Because it doesn't seek its own. Well, I ain't going to be nobody's doormat. Jesus wasn't a doormat. Stop it. I'm not talking about somebody beating on you. I don't let nobody beat on nobody. I tell you, get out of there until things are safe and change and we get a grip on whoever's beating on somebody. I've initiated as a pastor some separations with a strong vision of reconciliation. Because if you separate them without a strong, they'll think that life apart. Wow, why didn't I do this sooner? Praise the Lord. They'll learn to live apart. Are you following me? And they were close enough to have three kids together. Probably ought to learn how to live together.
So you have to have a strong plan of reconciliation, but you don't let nobody be in danger. But you can't. That lie we all grew up with, sticks and stones could break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And we're saying it back to the kids that are mocking us. Sticks, stones break my bones, but words never hurt me. And you're already trashed. You're already devastated. And words are just tearing you up. Yeah? See, we got to get in that place where we're in truth and words don't hurt us. So if somebody vents, they're venting. I've said it this way. I always want to know what's making somebody tick. So if I'm pastoring, I'm sitting in an office and so-and-so busts down the door. He says, Pastor, bam, pop, pow, and you, and they give me a piece of their mind and they throw in some bleeps, some blurry, fuzzy blue. Yeah? And they just let it rip and they're going to walk out. I'm not going to be so shallow. I'm going to sit there and say, my ears aren't a garbage dump and I don't need to take any of this stuff into my soul because I don't need to do that. I got to say, what has Johnny so upset that he would knock down the door, curse like that, call me all those things? What's he trying to say? What's he believing? Because I'm not threatened by the bleeps. Are you hearing me? I'm not trying to superficially protect myself from the words he spoke. Why? Because I'm living by these words. So how can I best love Johnny? Try to understand what's behind that language. Is the language out of order? Yeah. Is that the issue? No. Johnny's the issue, and what's got him so worked up that he would so cross a line and talk to me like that? I don't want to be so self-righteous that I disregard Johnny in this frail attempt to protect myself from what he said. Are you with me? Because only then can I speak back into Johnny. Only then can I talk to Johnny if I care for him and I love him. And if Johnny ever sees that, who knows, that'll be enough to lead him to repentance when he knows what he said. Are you with me? I would just love to see all of us become what I've been preaching tonight and live this thing out and bear the fruit of it. And I believe, I'm going to say this for what it's worth, I travel somewhere every weekend. I cry this stuff out over and over. I'm just crying this out. I'm not weary in it. I'm excited just to sow seed. If I sow, something's going to grow. If I don't sow, nothing's going to grow. If I sow, something's going to grow. If I don't sow, nothing's going to grow. So my joy is the fact that somebody give me a mic and I'm just going to sow. I got 2 feed bags over me and I'm just throwing all weekend till they're flat out empty. And I got so much seed out there, I'm just believing something got to grow. But I'm not saying this in hype, I'm saying this in sincerity. I've been doing this for a while and I just feel like God is so up to something. And I just feel like people, his people, I feel like honestly there's an army rising up that know who they are because of him in them. And it's not an arrogant place, it's not, I have the mind of Christ. It's have this same mind in you that was also in him. In other words, they have the same motive, that same mindset, that same perspective that was in Christ, who humbled themselves, made themselves of no reputation. My goodness, guys, for a long time, we're trying to seek reputation because we don't know who we are. When you know who you are, you're not looking for reputation. You lay it down. You lay it down, humble yourself to the point of death, become a servant unto others. That's the mind that was in him. Let this mind be in you that was in him. It's not a haughty thing. It's not a hypo-spiritual thing. It's a humble, surrendered thing. And even though he didn't see it robbery to be equal with God, he knew he was the Son of God, he didn't demand to be treated as such. That's what that means. Whew. I don't know about you, but he's amazing. Not because he answers our prayers, because he changes our lives.
And when we were yet unlovely and sinners, he died and said, by dying, I know you can be so much more. Let's not miss that. And let's not just bring him into our lives. Let's let him become our lives. In Jesus' name. Are you all good? What time is it anyway? What time is it? Okay. Wow, that's not too bad. We started at 6:30. Good. No, we're gonna pray for all the sick tonight. Is that okay? It'll be fun. But here's what I want to do first. There's nothing I preached tonight that you can't live if you wrap faith around it and want to. I mean it. It actually separates you and empowers you to live this thing apart from whatever it is you're experiencing, going through, no matter how much pressure your spouse is putting on you. Your spouse could be off in darkness, and it doesn't change what I'm preaching. Are you with me? Watch. God forbid, but say your spouse just takes off into darkness. Let me ask you this. Has the purpose of God in your life changed? Are you any less anointed, called, paid for, and loved by God? Then why does, when that happen, even though there's a reality, there's a sting, there's things you have to tangibly walk through, if it involves family, children, properties, I get it, you got to walk through stuff, but are you any less a man or woman of God? Do you have any less purpose, any less value? How many times have you seen those scenarios unfold and they totally shipwreck everybody involved? Put a bitterness, a hardness, an identity, a sting, and a stain in the lives of everybody involved. You know I'm telling the truth on that. Wouldn't it be amazing to get what we're saying here tonight and just live in the strength of it? To where actually if a spouse does that to you, you can actually sincerely weep and believe for them and ask God's best for them, that revelation would come to them, not just because it would favor you, but because obviously to do whatever they did, they're deceived and they're in darkness. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. I had a lady leave a man in our church over the internet. She said she fell in love. This man was loving her over the internet and doing everything for her. Her husband wasn't doing. Two small children. She just took off. She got plane tickets, had a rush on divorce papers sent to him, and she got plane tickets and went to go lie with this man. And the daddy of the two kids, the husband of the wife that left, has the divorce papers, and she's on a plane and leaves. I tried to stop her, couldn't stop her. It was painful. I cried and cried and cried trying to stop her. And she was set. He shut himself in a room for 5 days. This story you can hardly preach in church. People don't get it. They're like, what? But I'm trusting you'll get it. He shut himself in a room for 5 days, heartbroken. Because that quick, he's got divorce papers. His whole world's upside down. His wife, it's eating him up. His wife is sleeping with a man in another state that he doesn't even know. She never even met him, just over the internet. But she went to give herself to him, said it's love. So he's in a room, he's not eating, he's not nothing. He's just in his bedroom, and he's screaming and crying for 5 days. He took his kids to his parents because he couldn't watch them. And he says, God! He said he would bang his head on the drywall. He would just scream, yo, God, you got to bring her back. God, how could you let this happen? God! He was just freaking out, screaming, God! He'd just cry and scream. For days. He said 5 days in, presence of the Lord came in the room to where he knew the Lord was there. You know what I mean? And the Lord said, would you quit praying this way? You don't have a problem. Your wife is in trouble. Well, at first he said, you don't have a problem, and he freaked out. That's the actual story. He said, you don't have a problem. That's all he said. You don't have a problem. He freaked out. He said, I was never so mad at anyone in my life. The veins popped in my neck. He said, I was screaming at the ceiling because we always look up and figure God's up.
He said, what do you mean I don't have a problem? What is this funny to you? I don't have a problem. I got divorce papers. My wife's in the arms of another man. My kids no longer have a mother. I don't have a problem. He just yelled the facts. And the Lord, unfazed by the facts, said, you don't have a problem. Your wife is in trouble. So he began to cry, and here's what the Lord implied to him. He said, how is it possible that I live inside of you, and the only one you can cry for is you, and you've never considered the lost state of her soul? The thing that's empowering her to do, even if it's evil, the fact that it's empowering her to do what she's doing, you've never even cared. You've just cared about what she's done to you. If God saw our lives that way, we have no hope. If all God was ticked about is how you handled truth, how you didn't follow conviction, how you didn't do what you prayed and said you were going to do at the altar. If that's how God responded to us, there's not one of us that has hope. So the Lord, in confidence, comes in the bedroom and says, you don't have a problem. What do you mean I don't have a problem? This is what I said. You don't have a problem. Your wife is in trouble. And how is it possible that I can live in you and all you can do is cry for you and never consider the lost state of her soul? I don't know about you, but that was God talking to him. I'm concerned we as the church aren't even ready for that revelation. Because we got too much to say about that situation and that woman and how he and he's supposed to and now he got it and she calls him all this and them two kids and she da 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 da. And we're offended at her because of the story. Come on. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live that shallow. I want to get what he was saying when he walked in there after 5 days. My wife was in the same situation when I got saved. She was off and running because our marriage was over when I got saved. And I didn't get saved for my marriage. I got saved because I saw my life was a zero. I didn't think I wanted my marriage. I thought I wasted 13 years. I was mean to my wife. I was brutal. You have no idea. I was so bad. So I wasn't like, oh, my marriage. I was like, yay, my marriage. And I was making plans to move in with someone 8 years younger than me and just make a good go of it. Just change models. My wife was almost 4 years older. We've been together 13 years. 8 years younger sounds like a better plan. Let's go for that one. See how we use each other? So I was not thinking my marriage. And the night I got saved at work, 30 minutes later, I thought of my wife and had a whole different view of her than I have ever had. And I realized she tried hard, she was a peacemaker, and never one day did I love her like Christ loves his church. And I felt like I wanted to have the honor and the chance of loving her. Well, 7 weeks into my salvation, she fought it hard. She fought my salvation hard because she was moving on in her life. She thought I was doing it to make the family side with me and make her the bad girl. She just had all these, she was just offended. Because she took the kids to church for 13 years of our marriage, and I wouldn't go. And I fought tooth and nail. And now she gives up on me and God all at the same time and takes off running in another direction. And all of a sudden, I'm saved. And she's like, you know, like, it's just a slap in the face. But 7 weeks in, the Lord came to her in the bathroom, and he said, why are you so angry with that man, making me a separate man than who she's mad at? He said, can't you see? And she said it was like somebody tore something off her eyes. That's not even the man that you're angry with. And then he said this, that's not even the man you married. I have made him a brand new man. So watch. She collapses to the ground, falls and cries because she sees it. So she realizes I was just living hurt, in unforgiveness and in pain. And all the things I've done all this time were driven by the unresolved conflict in my heart. So it molded her into somebody she wasn't.
Pain took her on roads she would have never traveled if she didn't have pain. The Lord told me a long time ago that everything has children. If you're discouraged, you'll have desires in you that you'd never have if you weren't discouraged. Yeah? Everything is trying to reproduce. She fell on the ground and see, because she was mad at God, just like he said, what do you mean I don't have a problem? I got divorce papers, kids don't have a mother, my wife's in the arms of another man. I don't have a problem. Isn't that problem enough for you? Like he was giving him the facts of problem. My wife, she went in the bedroom the day we finalized that we're not going to be together anymore and this is over. She went in the bedroom, oh, I'm so done with that man. And then she said, and you said to the Lord, I'm done with you too. Now watch what she said. She said, I prayed to you for 13 years. 13 years I prayed to you, and you've done nothing. You've allowed me and these children to suffer through hell, and you've done nothing. I don't need you either. Makes sense to her. She's walked out of the bedroom, angry at God. So this was 6 months later, 7 weeks into my salvation. Now he's got her on the floor in a fetal position crying. And he hovers over her and he said, Kim, it's true that you prayed to me for 13 years, but you don't understand how you kept my hands bound and kept my hands from answering your prayer, because you only ever prayed from pain. You never prayed because of love. Watch what he said. You were reduced to another hurting wife that prays. And you knew if I changed him, your day would go better. It had nothing to do with mercy for your husband because he doesn't know who he is. You never prayed because you loved him. You only prayed because you were hurt by him. I can't change him and leave you there. That's what he said. And she went, woo! And she's avoiding me. She won't talk to me. She found me. And when she found me, she's running to me. Woo! And guess what she's saying over and over? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. And I'm like, you're sorry? I never loved you. I treated you so terrible. Like, I've been wanting to say I'm sorry. I'm in my mind thinking there is nothing for you to be sorry about. Because from my shoes, I ran her battery dry. I ran her out of gas a long time ago. She was running on empty. And I'm sorry. And she kept saying, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Why? Because God got her eyes off of me and got her eyes back on her. And she realized she was nothing more than a product of my deception. And God was separating her from living that way. Now she's saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry. And she hugs me. She plants her head in my chest. And I start crying. And I'm like, ooh. And she, ooh. It was messy. And I tried to get her to stop saying she's sorry because it bothered me because I'm sorry. And then I said, how can you be sorry? What are you sorry for? She looked at me dead in the eyes as serious as it could be. She said, for not loving you in prayer. She said, I only prayed because I was hurt by you, and I knew if God would change you, it would make my day better. It wasn't because I cared for you. It's not because I loved you. And I went, whoa! And I was crying. I told her some things that I knew and heard in prayer. We worked through. Assured her that I was so glad she was right here. And out of the blue, I didn't know any of this was going to happen. Very spontaneously, I said, can I renew my wedding vow to you? And she said, huh? She said, you mean there's hope for a marriage? I said, I am finally ready to love you like Christ loves his people. Can I renew my wedding vow to you? She said, okay. And I didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't know this was coming. So I wasn't up late, didn't have a bunch of crumpled papers by the bedside. A vow is not eloquent speech anyway. A vow is a heart promise. It's a heart promise given in words. And it's before God. Here's what I vowed to my wife. Watch this. Psychologists, a Christian psychologist would try to crucify you for this and tell you it ain't like this, but it's like this. Not every psychologist. Said, you owe me nothing in this marriage but to receive the love of God from me. And as long as I draw breath on this earth, I will serve you in his unfailing love. And she said, okay. Now watch. That 8-year thing happened 2.5 years later. But she owes me nothing but to receive the love of God from me. Now guess what she stopped doing? Receiving the love of God from me. And turned inward and got identified. She forget what the second part of my vow was. But as long as I draw breath from this earth, I'll serve you in his unfailing love. Whether she's receiving it or not, I'm going to love you. Does God woo you? Does God continue to woo you? Does God come and woo you even more? And woo you even more? And draw all men unto him? And nobody comes to him unless he's drawn by him? Wonder if he stopped drawing. He can't stop drawing because he won't stop loving, because love never fails. And even when you have no clue who you are, he knows who you are in him. And he never, ever stops loving you. Ain't that something? So I got to walk all that out with my wife. And then I got to walk it out with my son. And God's just in redeeming families and restoring lives. So I'm going to pray some over y'all guys. And I want you to do this. We don't need an altar call. We just need you to be sincere and let where you're sitting be your altar. I'll talk more about it this weekend. But what I'm preaching, you become in prayer. You'll never become what I'm preaching if you don't want to. The biggest thing to what I preach tonight is you wanting to live this way. But if you still got chips on your shoulder and you got unspoken lines in your life that people can cross, you'll never grow into what I'm preaching. Because somebody will cross your line. You got to get rid of the lines. You got to become unconditional. I'm serious. It's a big deal. Could you imagine, Pastor, if we didn't just preach about this, but we actually lived this? What do you think would happen in the body of Christ if we became what we heard tonight? And love would just cover everything and bring out the best in everybody. And new people would come in and live in weakness and live in that other stuff, and it would just get swallowed up by the wisdom of God's love. Wouldn't that be amazing? So you got to answer in your heart tonight. See, I asked the Lord a long time ago. I said, if I'm going to preach like I'm preaching, and I'm going to preach every weekend somewhere for 4 and 5 sessions, please, would you do one thing for me? I said, make it that when I'm finished, a man only has 2 choices, or a woman, 2 choices. You say, 2? Why not 1? Because you're not a robot, and you have a free will, and he wants sons and daughters. He doesn't just want... He's not controlling you. He's drawing you. So I said, just let him have two options. That a man would say, I hear what you're saying, and I want it. Or, I hear what you're saying, I just don't want it. But I said, please don't let anybody leave a room and go, what's he saying? I don't think anybody's saying, what's he saying? I mean, you could choose to say you're saying that, but I don't think you couldn't not hear me tonight. It's just too simple. If it wasn't simple, I wouldn't get it. I breezed through high school, city schools. They just shuttled us through to get us through. I could have got on a roll easy because the curriculum is low, just to get us through. And I still didn't get on a roll because I just got through. And then I never went to any more schooling. And when I was 33, I got saved, got in a bedroom, opened my Bible, and if it wasn't simple, I wouldn't get it. So I don't have something deep for you tonight. Even though I believe what I preach is super profound and will change any man's life if he's willing to believe. So I'm going to pray a prayer of faith over you guys, and I'm going to trust that your hearts are sincere. And that God's going to lock this thing into our hearts, bring it to our remembrance, and empower us and help us in every time of need to live out our convictions tonight. Is that fair enough? Because you can't bite your lip and try to live what you heard. You become it. And the way you become it is you keep yielding to God in prayer. Father, nobody owes me a thing. Thank you that your life is in me. God, teach me how to always respond in Christ.
Father, I thank you. Nothing moves me but who you created me to be. God, that's the goal. I'm going to shine today. Thanks for another day in you. Wow, I'm going to shine. Don't wake up and get tricked. Oh, 6 o'clock, man, I didn't sleep good. I don't know if I'm going to hardly make it. God, I got a lot on my plate. I got that meeting at 12. Oh, God, if you don't intervene, I don't even know how I'm making it. And then you call that prayer. Don't do that. Wake up in the morning and be excited to have another day to look more like him. And then no matter what's in front of you, you're going to live it in Christ. You're not going to love your own life unto death. And you're going to manifest Jesus by the grace of God. Make sense? So, Father, let this truth mark us tonight. And continue to cultivate, and raise up a people that live what you paid for. That aren't just looking for blessings and favor, but true transformation and change and the strength of what love really is. Would you let our eyes be in agreement with what you see? And would you let this message convict us and convince us from the inside out? And would you bear fruit that brings glory to your name through our lives? Holy Spirit, I'm asking you this. I mean, you are so here to reveal Jesus, to glorify Jesus, to show us things to come, to remind us, to teach us, to equip us, to empower us. You're the helper, and through you, we become valid witnesses. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to mark every heart tonight, to woo every heart into a place of surrender and true commitment, and then begin to release grace and work in each individual life to bring us to a place of understanding, revelation, and being concerning what we've heard. Father, I thank you that this is unmovable and unshakable. It's the kingdom of God, and it's at hand. We don't look here, we don't look there, for the kingdom of God is in us. And I thank you, you're establishing it truly in an unshakable way. I bless this house. I thank you for wisdom in the heart of every person. I pray for reconciliation in every marriage. I thank you, God, that relationships are even healed tonight. I pray the message is enough to bring change and peace into homes. I thank you we don't have to get muddy with words. We can just say yes. And I thank you in this truth, there's a grace to not look back, but look up and just move forward. Father, I thank you tonight is a night of transformation. I believe tonight is a night where some could say, I got an answer to move forward. So Father, I thank you. No one's stuck. No one's lacking. I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. So we're going to pray for the sick. Is that okay? Now, there's a way we're going to do it, and man, as much as I love you guys, I want you guys to actually help me and get involved, so I won't need you to play right now. I just want you to get involved. You'll understand in a minute, all right? There's a reason. We could play, we could set an atmosphere, and I'm into atmosphere. God likes atmosphere. Sometimes atmosphere is amazing. Who was ever in an atmosphere where God's just moving and doing things? What I want to empower you to do a little bit here today is just live as a believer and believe God loves you, lives in you, and wants to show up through you, okay? If you have sickness, if you have a need in your body, I want you to be humble enough to receive that tonight. And we're going to pray for you, and I want everybody to get involved. So what I want to do, and I believe it's what the Lord's instructed me to do, I've been doing this for a long time, is to empower people to live Christ in an everyday way. And what a safe environment to be empowered. Amen? So here's the deal. When we pray for the sick, who's ever prayed for the sick? Who's ever noticed that when you pray for the sick, your focus shifts right when you're ready to pray, your focus shifts on your prayer. A lot of times you try to pray right, powerful, and anointed, and you're trying to pray in a way where you believe it's moving God or God's moving. Who knows what I'm talking about? That you actually get self-conscious and your prayer becomes your focal point. Is that fair? Okay, well, let me help you with something, and this is good news. Your prayer never has and never will heal anybody. It's his finished work. And it's your faith in that work. So watch this.
Be made whole is plenty when there's a revelation. A lot of times we're praying to encourage ourselves. We're finding faith in our prayer. We think we got to quote scripture. Some of us even change our voices. We talk like we don't even ever talk. When we go to pray, Father, I just thank you right now. And we put on this voice and we talk like we'd never even talk. But it's right when we pray. We got to let all that go, okay? See, I'm just telling you, it's a good way to assure that you're stopping everything that wants to happen. Now look, if your prayer is healing the sick, we should all just go to prayer college. And I don't even know if there is a thing out there like that. There shouldn't be. Watch. Be made whole in Jesus' name is probably plenty. Matthew 17 says, if you have faith, you'll say to the what? Mountain, and the mountain the what? He's not just talking about obstacles in situations of life. He's actually talking about healing, because the whole thing comes from the epileptic boy. That's the chapter. That's what started the conversation, the epileptic boy. So when he says, you'll say to the mountain, move, it'll move, he's got to be talking about sickness. Because he's springing off of the epileptic boy and their question, why can't we heal the boy? So if you say, knees be healed, cartilage you be restored, scoliosis you come out. Who knows that that's saying to the mountain? Okay. So you don't have to pray long prayers. When you're in public, I want to encourage you, and especially after tonight, I'm going to believe you're going to be super encouraged to do this. To just pray for people when you see them and you think about it and you go, you know what, right now I have time to pray for them. The only reason I want to pray for them is because I either choose not to, or I just don't feel like it, or I'm scared, or I don't want to, or whatever. You just pray for them. Just start getting your hands out there on people and just say, hey, what'd you do? Man, you look like you're in pain. Is that, oh, yeah. Now they'll tell you the story. Say, listen, I didn't ask because I'm nosy. It just moved my heart. And God's just growing in me, and I'm just going to be telling you honestly. I'm a Christian. I believe he's a healer, and I've been praying for the sick, and I would love to pray for you. Please don't say no. I would love to pray for you. I always ask them, please don't say no. I usually say, please don't say no before I ask them. I say, listen, I'm going to ask you, please don't say no. Well, what are you asking me? Well, please don't say no, okay? And they'll say, what is it? I just want to pray for you. Oh, well, oh, please don't say no. And they'll laugh and say, okay. And it's not that they're in faith. They just see I'm serious. And here's what I say to them a lot, too. I say, listen, be careful how I'm not, like, just be careful how you respond to this, because if this wasn't real to me, why would I ask you? If I knew nothing was going to happen, why would I be asking to pray? And that makes them think. And I've had some people that wrestled me on it already, and I say, whoa, whoa, stop. You're missing the whole point. If I already knew nothing would happen and this is real or there's something else, why would I be asking you unless I got something else up my sleeve? And you'll see in a minute, I have nothing else up my sleeve because you'll probably never see my face again. I'm not selling you anything. I'm not taking an offering. I'm not handing you a card. I just want to love on you in Jesus and pray for you, because he said, whatever city I'm in, heal the sick there and tell them the kingdom's here. And these signs shall follow those that, what's the first thing they'll do? Lay their hands on the sick. If we ain't laying hands on the sick, then we got to ask what we believe. We get so caught up in the healing aspect, the will of God, and heal, and theology. We forget to do the very first thing a believer does. He just gets his hands on the sick. He shall lay his hands on the sick. And guess what? The sick what? Shall recover. So don't turn healing into a hit, miss, win or lose, 30-day money back guarantee, 60-day try me, see if you like me. You just believe God. You lay hands on the sick. Our worst fear, I found this, our worst fear, the reason most Christians, number one reason most Christians don't pray for the sick in their personal life is because they're afraid nothing will happen. Now, some people just believe it's reserved for certain anointings, ministries. But if I'm reading my Bible clear, Pastor, these signs shall follow those that believe. Not those that are gifted, those that have a healing ministry. Those that are in leadership. Those that. So if you were the devil, wouldn't you try to scramble what people believe? Get them to fight over it, build camps over what they believe. Number one reason most Christians don't pray for the sick, if they don't, it's because they're afraid nothing will happen. But because they don't pray, they always have what they're afraid of. They always have nothing.
So let's get over ourselves. Let's get over our fears. And then start. You say, well, I don't want to misrepresent the God. Failing to love on people is misrepresenting the gospel. I've prayed for people and nothing has changed. I used to get bothered by that. I'm being honest. Way back, I got really bothered by that. I still want everything to happen immediately. But I know if I don't start the process and release faith, I'll never get they shall recover. Now, I'm not banking on they shall. I want them healed. I'm always asking to check. Can I pray one more time? Let me just speak over that again. Knees be healed. Just one more time. Back. You see what I'm saying? And if they let me, if they feel a little better, they always let you. But if they let me pray 5 times, I will. I'm not asking God to heal. I'm saying, back you behold. Scoliosis, you come out. Arthritis, you leave. Arthritis, I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Arthritis, you go. Every trace of pain. I'll say, check yourself. Will you? Well, it's still, no, I'm feeling it. Where are you heading? You heading back to work? Yeah, I'm just on lunch. Look, 5 more seconds, I'm going to let you go to lunch. I just believe that can change. I just want to release some faith. So I'm looking for something that just changes, and I'm asking them to check. I'm not afraid of them saying nothing changed. Are you with me? Why? Because I'm believing, I'm in faith, that I'm laying my hands on the sick, they shall recover. So I'm praying for them, and they say, look, I really do got to go, but thanks. My gosh, I can see you're sincere. Some people will say that. One lady said, well, thanks for trying. I was like, oh! Which just bugged me so bad. It bugged me bad, Pastor. Thanks for trying. Because I felt that way. I felt like we missed it. I felt like we didn't, because I was back in that time, and that hit me. And then she says, thanks for trying. Same lady. Months later, meet her in Walmart. She runs up and says, hey, I was wondering if I've ever seen you again. And I'm like, hey, I didn't recognize you. I said, did I pray for you? She said, yes, over it. And I said, she told me, I went, I remember you now. I lost sleep over you. Here I am thinking something's wrong. And what am I missing? And why can't we? I wanted to just see people healed. She tells me, she goes home. She knew it was sincere. She didn't feel any different. She crawls in bed. She wakes up with one of them deals. She gets up in the morning. She said she's in the bathroom. It was plantar fasciitis. She said she felt like she's walking on glass. And the mornings are the absolute worst. She gets out, has to go to the bathroom. She's in the bathroom, going to the bathroom, gets up and doing whatever she's doing. And she goes, huh? And realizes she has no pain in her feet. Just realized it halfway in the bathroom routine. And she said, from that day till the day she was telling me, met me all excited, she hasn't had one trace. And the whole time, if I'm not careful, I'm turning it into a point in time, hit, miss, win, lose, walking through the earth, discouraged. I learned quick. Are you with me? Listen, we got to get our hands on people. We got to release faith. We got to release the kingdom of God if it's going to come and manifest. If a believer lays his hands on the sick and the sick shall recover, then we should get our hands on the sick. I heard a man of God say this a long time ago. He said, I just know this. We got a lot of questions concerning healing, it seems. But I just know this simple truth. The more people we pray for, the more things we'll see. So let's just pray for the sick. Yeah? So that's what we're going to do tonight. When you pray for the sick, you'll see lots of different sicknesses. But there's two categories I'll put it in. There's people that will know they're healed when they're healed because it's symptomatic and it's obvious. I mean, if their arm is impaired from an accident, if they have a torn rotator cuff and they can only go like this, or they were born a certain way, if their hearing's missing, if they have scoliosis, who knows, things are symptomatic, and if their body changes, they're going to know. There's people that need a test, they have internal stuff, they have migraines that come and almost paralyze them for 24 hours, but they didn't have one for the last 8-10 days, but they're afraid any day now. You know what I'm saying? It's all the same faith. Now, I don't want you to all pick out the people that wouldn't know, because that's a safer arena. No. Same sincerity, same faith in God, and here's the key. You and I have to just start believing, you know what? God loves people. He sent his son because he so loved us. He didn't send his son because he was frustrated. He sent his son because he loves. Wouldn't it be amazing if John 3:16 said, for God was so frustrated at wit's end with humanity that he finally sent his son. That would be different than for God so loved. So you got to understand that God loves you. If you're getting prayed for tonight and you need healing, I only want to give you permission to do one thing tonight. Turn off your brain. Turn off everything. Stop trying to receive. You see people, they're like, see, what are you doing? I'm just trying to receive. Probably ought to chill. Just chill. You're working way too hard. Like, just chill. Here's what I want to give you permission to do tonight, please. Believe one thing tonight when we pray for you. That God has to love me or he'd have never sent his son. I'm telling you, keep it that simple. How do I know God loves me? Because he sent his son. You don't say, well, I don't know if he loves me. I've been sick for 2 years. Why does 2 years of sickness trump the cross that already happened? And how are you going to be rooted and grounded in love if life has the power to talk you out of love? And how can faith work through love if love's always in question? Come on, that's just solid. I've been reading that book back there. I know I didn't open it and read it today. I hope this meeting is still legal. Shall I read the scripture quick just to appease the religious? We're going to pray for the sick tonight. Listen, first category. If you were healed tonight, but it's a situation that you wouldn't know in the moment, you'd need time to tell, an x-ray, a test, an internal scan, or just time. You just need to go work and get up and down and do something or drive for a while or whatever. You wouldn't know if you were healed until time would reveal it, but you'd just believe you're healed when we pray. But there'd be no way to tangibly inspect yourself and symptom-wise say, I'm healed. But yet you have need of a healing, but you would by no way be able to tell in the moment. I just need those people to stand to their feet real quick. Just stand to your feet. It's a condition that if you were healed, you wouldn't know it in the moment, but you'd know it in time. Please don't stay in your chair. Let's not run this far together and then stay in your chair. If that's you and you have a condition that's less than wholeness, standing isn't claiming your sickness. Standing is saying, I got something in my life less than wholeness, and I believe Jesus wants to heal me. So stand to your feet. Come on. I know I didn't even look. I had my eyes closed, and I knew I needed like 8 or 10 people. So good, I made that last plea and I got at least 8, maybe 10. Might have got 10 here. Yeah, I just wait. Why am I waiting? We already have enough people to pray for. I don't want you to miss this moment. It's real. This isn't church stuff. This isn't end of the service religious stuff. God's about to move in people's bodies. I see it all the time. I'm convinced of it. And I'm waiting till I know we're ready. And what it means by being ready is everybody that qualifies for this prayer would stand up. God wants you up. Because faith stands you up. He meets you right where your faith is. Anybody else? Thank you. I was just going to say, I feel like I'm needing 3 people and I saw you stand up. I know I need 2 more. I got 1 more yet. Where are you? Did anybody just stand up that I didn't see? Did you just stand up, sir? Did you just stand up? Or have you been up? Okay. So I think I got, did I get somebody? Good. I knew I needed at least 3. I got 3 for sure. I feel good too now. I just feel excited. Okay, if you're sitting near somebody, look, this seems too simple. It ain't simple. Jesus gave his life for this thing. Like, he was innocent and got beat and pummeled and hung on a cross. He didn't run from it. He didn't try to diminish it. He didn't try to lessen it. He just took it. Yeah? That's incredible. So don't say this is simple. Our part seems simple, but we have to believe. Believe what? In the middle of whatever we're standing for, that God loves me or he wouldn't have sent his son. We can't let whatever we're standing for dictate our identity, our encouragement level, our emotions. We got to stay fixed on him. We got to walk this thing out as believers. That's our part. And when we pray for you, we need to be sincere and pray for you, not just because you have a need, but we believe God loves you. Are you with me? Yes, sir. So if you're sitting near them, just tap somebody that's standing, get their hand. If you're behind them, say, hey, we're going to believe for you. just squeeze an elbow. Don't violate them. Don't smother them. Just touch them somewhere that's gentle and kind. Yeah, don't violate them. Are y'all ready? Okay, the people that are being prayed for, what are you believing? God has to love me, or he'd have never sent his son. Would you say that to him in your heart right now? Would you say, Father, tonight, right now, I'm believing you love me for one reason. You sent your son. And if you didn't love me, you'd have never sent your son. For God so loved that he gave his son. Would you settle that in your heart tonight? Never look back from that place. I want you to live there the rest of your life. People that are praying, why is God healed? Because he loves us. And we're just believing that. Now in authority, I want you to say this. We don't have to ask him on this one. We will in a minute, the next group probably. But on this one, I want you to just say this. Let's do this as a family and be sincere and know God loves them. Say, be made whole in Jesus' name. No symptoms, no sickness, no weakness ever return. In Jesus' name, completely made whole. Father, thank you for loving your people. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. No, that's good. Good, good, good. It's not simple. It's good and amazing. So just that little thing there, when you, in the next day, two, three, whatever it needs to be, like whatever, whenever you really know, it would be amazing. I don't do this enough. I started doing this. It's incredible what happens in these meetings and sessions. I just came from a place where a lady was where I was before. And she told me she brought her friend who was going blind with a disease and already had black spots that were blotting out her vision, and it was going to fill in till it was blind. And she brought her, and we did the little thing we're about to do now, and she was, and there were so many, we took so many testimonies in that service. This lady had skin disease all over her body. It was someone raised up and like welded looking, it was all over her. When the girls prayed for her, it all disappeared. Right in front of them. So they're all going, ah! And she's going, ah! So there was a lot of pandemonium. There was a lady who shattered her leg, couldn't put any weight on it, was wearing this big apparatus. I said, is there anybody who cannot stand up? And she said, me. I said, guys, do you see her? Don't be afraid of that. Same faith, same finished work, same love. Somebody stand with her. Okay. So you forget there's a whole lot going on. We're doing all this. People are testifying, getting healed. And everybody's going like this. I look, and there's the girl that was over there that had the shattered leg. She's standing there looking at me, smiling, and she has nothing on. It's all over on the bench laying. And I'm like, did they take that off for you or did you? She said, I took it off. And she kept doing like the emoji, the blown mind. She was going. And I said, what? And she went, she did this. She went. Then she turned and she's high-stepping. I said, serious? I said, why were you wearing that? And she told the story and everybody's like, wah! Well, in that service, this lady had the black spots. I didn't find this out till 2 months later or so. She said, she brought her. She said, I don't see the spots. She said, are you sure? I'm pretty sure. So she went and she was checking in a wall where she could see in the lighting, and she's really checking. But there was so much going on, and I guess by the time she realized, she said she was kind of paralyzed with emotion. She was back there just sobbing and crying. So she never testified. I never found out till I saw her last week. Just last week, she came up to me and told me this whole story. She said her friend has no spots and no degeneration any longer in her eyes, and no threat of blindness. In a 5-second little exercise of the body of Christ, believing.
Whoa.
So that first group that just prayed for, when you find out and know you're healed, whatever time frame that looks like, test, time, whatever, let them guys know. Email, just say, hey, I was there Friday night. I just want you to know, Pastor. We're not promoting it. Neck Ministries is I'm only called Neck Ministries so the IRS knows who I am because people sow into my life. It's the only reason there's a name. But Neck Ministries, the Lord gave it to me. It means holding the body fast to the head. Neck Ministries. That's what it means. Holding the body fast to the head, because we get away from Christ sometimes. And the Lord told me a long time ago, I'm raising you up to be a neck in the body of Christ. I said, a neck? That's what I said. And this reverence came over me and made me cry, Pastor. He whispered, I heard his voice whisper to my heart. He said, yeah, to help hold the body fast to the head. And I just, something about it sounded beautiful and wonderful, and I cried. Here I am all these years later, and people say, I get that. Jesus Christ and Christ in us and what he did and accomplished and his work is enough. And it's just all about him, guys. So there's no Neck Ministries doesn't have some website. My website is pitiful. Like, there's nothing there. Who knows that there's nothing there on Neck Ministries' website? Nothing. No vision for a website. Could care less about a website. And I'm not against websites. It's just me. No vision. Don't care. I have people that have skills. They say, dude, you need a legit website. And I'm like, no, I need a legit gospel. And I'm just going to keep preaching it. And let it all work out. But there's nowhere on the website like what God's doing through this ministry. So we're not going to take it and like highlight. It's not a Dan Moeller thing ever. Like, I'm actually, have run from that for my whole Christian life. Like, it's a believer thing. It's a Jesus thing. It's not, well, yeah, but brother, you have a healing ministry. No, you do too. You're a believer. I understand there's certain gifts. I understand some things flow in people's lives. All 9 gifts in your Bible flow through my life before I was a year saved. I experienced every one and I couldn't teach on them. I didn't even know they were in the Bible on a list. But they all flowed through my life. Why? Because he was forming my heart in love, and they all work through love. It's the excellent way. And the first teaching I heard on the 9 gifts of the Spirit, I was overwhelmed and humbled and realized that I functioned in every one. I just didn't know what to call them. Yay. Isn't that awesome? It's because of communion, fellowship with God, being a believer. We just want to turn everything into gifting and ministries. The whole purpose of a prophet, an evangelist, an apostle, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It's not just so he can stand and prophesy to everybody. It's so he can empower people to speak divine utterance. Are you with me? Is there anybody here that it would be very hard to stand, or you cannot stand? And we don't want to lose you in the crowd, but you would want prayer for healing. Anybody. It's just, I just want to know so we can be sensitive to you and get to you. Anyone that cannot stand, it's hard to stand, or you cannot stand at once. Everybody going to be good? Okay. So this group, if you were healed, you would know it, because you could check without exaggeration. And that's very important, and I'll explain. We don't want any exaggeration. We want you healed. We don't want you trying to make the person that prayed for you feel good. Yeah. We don't want you to look at her big brown eyes and say, I can't break her heart. I got to tell her. No, I feel good. That is called lying. If you have sickness in your body, anybody back here, anybody out here, and you were healed, and you would know it if you were healed because you could tangibly check it, I need you to stand to your feet. And please don't stay in your chair. Just stand to your feet. Don't make us wait. Don't make me go fishing. I'm a really good fisherman, but I shouldn't have to fish. Just stand up. God loves us. He wants to move. He wants to heal. He wants to restore. Do I have everybody? Come on. I need just a couple more. Don't make me have to call something out. Just come on and get up, please. Okay, thank you. There's just two, three more. Somebody, you're almost bone on bone on your knees. I don't know why you wouldn't have stood up. And I know that. I see it. When I see this stuff, I know it's there. It's just your knees aren't good. You can feel it when you go up steps. It's not good. And you're afraid of even becoming bone on bone, is the thought I'm hearing. Is that you? Thank you, sir, for standing. That's exactly, did I describe what you're going through? No? 100% what I told, okay. No, I get it. I just was trying to get somebody to stand up. I saw they were still sitting. Now, isn't this cool, sir? What's your name? Joel? Why would God show me that and wait for Joel?
Oh, dude.
Because he loves you. He didn't want you sitting, and he knows. So he's just giving little old Pastor Dan. I wish I was little old Pastor Dan, but I'm getting there. But he just gave little old Pastor Dan little impression. Didn't know who it was, but I knew what I heard. And I heard that thought, and I said it, and boom, he jumped right to your feet. Isn't that sweet? Okay. I got one more person that I'm waiting on. I need you to stand up. It's an arthritis thing. You have arthritis in several joints of your body. If you look for it, you can find it. I think you've become used to it, and it's just whatever. But for some reason, you didn't stand up. But it's in a couple different joints in your body. I need you to stand up, whoever that is. I'm hearing the word arthritis. I'm seeing pain. Did they stand up? Did you? Who? Right here? That's you? Okay. Did I describe it the way it is? Okay. Thank you. Now, isn't this cool? I told you I'm a good fisherman. It's because he speaks.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's not just because we hear. He speaks, but of course you want to hear. Now, here's what I know. I know he loves us. So I'm in authority. I'm in a position. Okay, now I want that gifting to work. It works in my life. I'd be on an airplane. That gifting flows. I can talk to people. I say, hey, how do you know that? I say, well, Jesus knows everything. So it's fun to flow that way. But those two things right there is just an example of I'm in authority. They gave me a mic. We're doing it here. And God's love is saying, hey, I don't want to miss those two kids. I love them so much. Boom. And he gets you up out of your chair. For whatever reason they didn't stand, God said, we'll get you up. Boom. And they stood. So we're not mad at them. I'm not going to scold them. Well, I'll talk to them after the service. But, just kidding. But isn't it cool that the Lord gave me discernment on two situations when we already have plenty of people to pray for? Because it's real.
Yeah.
And he's about to move and he loves us. Isn't that a big deal? Okay, here's what I need you to do. And you guys can help me get involved if you want to pray. But the reason I didn't have the worship playing, you don't have these guys in a parking lot out here. You don't have them in a store. You just got your feelings. You got convictions and you got to just do it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And I think sometimes we get actually used to, because I love worship. I don't know about you, but I like atmosphere. But you can get hooked on atmosphere to where you don't have faith unless there's atmosphere, and the atmosphere is the kingdom of God in you.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So if you're standing, this isn't an act of worship. It's just identifying you so we don't lose you in a minute. I need you, if you're standing for prayer, raise your hand. Just one hand real high so we can all see you. Don't put it down till somebody comes and claims you. Don't pray for them yet. Just go claim somebody. Just somebody get up and go find somebody. Maybe somebody you don't even know. Might not be your spouse. In fact, you've been praying for your spouse. Just go grab somebody. Just say, hey, I'm going to pray. Don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. Just claim them. Don't even pray yet. Just claim them. We're going to do this together. We're going to learn together. Just claim them. Just go get somebody. Only leave your hand up if you're still waiting. Put your hand down if they claimed you. You still waiting, young lady, for somebody? Yeah, I got a lady over here. Is there somebody who can help me stand with a lady over here? Wave your hand, honey, so people see you. There you go. You got her. Yep. Ooh, the last shall be first. That's good. We got everybody? Is there anybody we missed? We got everybody accounted for. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take 3 seconds. Tell them why you stood up so they can say to the mountain. Don't give them the long version. Just give them the 3-4 second version of what you stood up. Like, I'm the lady with the arthritis symptoms. Or I got a herniated disc. Or I got cancer and it's right here and you can feel it or see it. You know, whatever. Deafness. Just give them a 3-second version. 4-second version. Okay? Everybody know? Everybody got it? Okay, here's why I did that. So we don't put our faith in our prayer tonight. So you can say to the mountain, move, and the mountain move. So here's what you would, like if they said, I have a herniated disc, watch this. I'm only going to give you about 5 or 6 seconds to pray. You say, what? Yeah, I'm doing that for you. So you don't get in trouble, so you don't get self-conscious, so you don't get into works. Come on, we get into works all the time when we pray for the sick. It's his finished work. So here's all I want you to do is believe this, that God lives in you, wants to flow through you, and he loves that person. So watch this. Disc, you be completely whole, no more pain in Jesus' name. Who knows you can do that? Speak to the mountain, address the thing in five or less seconds. Who knows you can do that and not be self-conscious? Who knows you can do that and actually be sincere and believe God loves the person? Yeah? You watch and see what he does in this room. It's just fun. Is there anybody praying for the sick right now that's a little uncomfortable? You're just doing it because the setting's safe and you're a little uncomfortable. Is there anybody? Be honest. I like when people tell me that. Okay. And you jumped in and got involved? Come on, man. I'd say I want that dude on my team every day. Because he ain't relying on himself. He's like, Jesus, you don't show up. I love it. Anybody else feel that way? They're like just stepping out in faith? Yeah? Good, good. We got several. So I'm going to give you about 5 seconds to pray, 6 seconds. You know, whatever it says, say you tore rotator cuff, say they got scoliosis. Scoliosis, you come out of the spine. Spine, you be straight, you bend, you flex, you work in Jesus' name. Whatever makes sense, speak into that mountain. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So then when I say, okay, guys, wrap it up, then we're just going to wrap it up in the name of Jesus. A lot of times when I'm out in the streets and even in the church, I'll end my prayer. I'll say, in the name of Jesus. And I'll say, Father, I so thank you for your love. The only reason I do that, I just believe people need to realize God loves them. And that all this is because he loves us. It's not because we need healing. The hope of being healed is because he loves us. You get what I'm saying? It should motivate us to pray for the sick. So after we pray, 5 seconds or so, boom. Then I want you, if you're being prayed for, you love me or you'd have never sent your son. That's how you're coming into this thing. So then at some point when I say wrap it up, I want you in that thanking God that he loves you thing, just to come out of that and begin to sincerely check your body without hype, without emotion. If you had a hernia sticking out and it's in a discreet place, go somewhere you can check it without embarrassment. But check yourself. If you had a hard time walking, doing stairs, just do something. Last week, a guy hadn't done push-ups because of damage in his wrist and hand. He hadn't done push-ups for 2 years. God, I said, well, you're sure you're healed? He said, it's amazing. I'm pushing. I said, well, then do push-ups. Do you have faith to do push-ups? He said, I'll do it. He got down and pushing up. The first time in 2 years, pushing up. It just, he did something he wasn't able to do to reveal to his own mind that, wow, my body's changed. Are y'all with me? So check yourself, take your time, and I want to know that you're sincerely healed. When you know you're healed, I just need you to let me know. And we'll acknowledge that, and I might get a couple people at some point to share what happened. Don't be afraid of that. Give glory to God if you know you're healed. You want to talk about it. So if you're somewhat healed, we'll address that, and then watch this. There's 3 things I see when I pray for the sick. That lady at Walmart, nothing changed. I used to never like that. I still don't like it, but I'm not messed up by it. I want everybody healed, like right now. And I know it's our birthright. I see it in Jesus' life, right? But I see people, nothing changed, somewhat changed, completely changed. That's what I see when I pray for the sick. Same faith for all 3 categories. I never let go, and I never change my mind. And even on the street, if somebody's not changed when I have to walk away, I say, listen, I so appreciate the honor of praying for you. Man, I'm expecting God to move. Keep checking your body, and just know, as that thing changes, he loves you. It's the Lord. And I leave them with that seed. Who knows? They go to work, get up, they're going up their stairs to their house, and they go, what? You see what I'm saying? And then this heart pumping, sweat come over them, and it's like God's on them. You know what I mean? Because they're going to think about the Lord immediately. So if your body, this isn't negative, I'm just teaching, if your body doesn't change when they pray, here's where we're going to make the difference. We're not going to think about it. We're not going to come up with an analogy. We're going to stay locked in faith and say, wow, Father, thank you for what you're doing in my life. I want you to listen to a couple testimonies. Keep checking your body and thanking God he's a healer and he loves us, right? And watch and see what happens. We're going to see things change as we refuse to let go. Because here's what we do. Wonder why I'm not being healed. Man, something's got to be blocking my healing. How come they're healed and I'm not healed? The last time I stood up, nothing ever happened. There's got to be something wrong. Something's holding up my healing. As soon as you start believing that, you're shipwrecked in faith. Your identity's in crisis and you think there's something wrong with you. It's detrimental when we go there. Here's what I want you doing tonight. Father, you're amazing. You absolutely love me. You never sent your son. And wow, look at that. You healed her. Wow, you healed him. That's amazing. And I know you're a healer, and I know you're healing me because you love me. And after that second, third testimony, you still check your body. We'll listen to a couple testimonies, and boom. And I'll probably ask you at some point, I'll say, now, did that just happen while you're... Yeah. And I call it popcorn in a bag. Do you ever watch it in the microwave? That first one or two pops, and then it's on, buddy. That's what I've seen it like in many churches, where all of a sudden it just keeps it. Now you got more hands and more. You might start off, you just got a couple hands. You got two excited people. You got a couple of people going, wow, I'm better. But you got a couple of people saying, I'm healed. And then you take a couple of testimonies. Next thing you know, you're like, where's all these hands coming from? And they're saying, it just changed. It just changed. Where if we didn't have this teaching and we start writing off, well, I guess something's wrong. Yeah? You all ready? You don't forget what you're praying for, right? Because I talk a lot. I'm a teacher. I want to empower us to live this way, guys. Are you all ready? Look at your person and make them real nervous and uncomfortable. Like, look at them like they're real lovable. Like God loves them, whatever that looks like. Are you ready? Are you guys ready? Okay, 5 to 6 seconds. I want you to give them the kingdom. I know you don't believe this, but I'm not going to talk for 5 or 6 seconds. It's a challenge, but I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to pray over top you. It's just you, them, and the finished work of Jesus. And then we're going to find out what's going on in the room. You ready? Go ahead. Give them the kingdom. Pray. All right. You can start to wind that down.
Thank you, Lord.
Wind that down. Just bring that to a close in the name of Jesus. You can acknowledge his love. Sorry, I had to get a drink. I gave you more than 5-6 seconds, but that's okay. Wind that down in Jesus' name. You people we prayed for, sincerely start checking your bodies for me right now. Sincerely check them. I don't want any exaggeration. Just start checking your bodies. When you know you're healed, you got to let me know. When you are? For sure? My man Joel, who stood up late, look at that. He's a little overwhelmed, too. No, that's beautiful, man. Oh, that's so good, Joel. He just got instantly healed. He's the one I had the word for. Hey, Joel, you got to talk to me. How do you know already? Is it that obvious? Like, oh. Okay. 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 Okay.
So, and then you said that.
Okay. So how do you know it's changed? Do you
pray for me before you said to pray, and then I'm standing there thinking, well, I wouldn't even know it, and I felt like whole arm was shooting through my leg, man.
Oh yeah. Is there a way that you were able to look
at you? Feel loose anymore? No, it doesn't feel loose. It was just tight
as you just know it's different. You know it's changed. Yeah, you look serious about that, too. No, that's amazing. He looks serious about that. Thank you, Lord. Who else? You know? You know you're healed. Shout it out. What happened? 4 years. For like 4 years? No, that's all good. That's Jesus. Jesus does that. Like a brand new knee. Feels like a brand new knee. Beautiful. Anybody else? You know when we prayed, you know you got healed. Anybody else? Checking your body. You know for sure? What happened? Sciatica? So you had it going down your leg when they prayed? 24/7. For how long? At least 4 years, 24/7 sciatic pain. Completely gone. You have no pain. That makes me want to cry. Because if you live that way for 4 years, that's a long time. And it's gone. Look at her face. Like, you can just tell when you look at people, too. Ugh, Jesus. If you were prayed for, keep checking your bodies while we're talking. Just check them. Let's see what God does while we're checking. Let's see who my first kernel of popcorn is. No, we're going to get popcorn in the bag. What did you, are you completely healed? Floaters? Was it really bad? So it's noticeably different? Okay. What, 80% gone? 70? Okay. Who prayed for you? Who prayed? What's going on? Oh, yeah. What? Why was it short? Was it short from an accident, an injury, or it was just accident? How short? Did you feel it pull out? Yeah. Okay. Well, sit down. Pray again. And then check in. Who else knows they're healed? Anybody else who know you're healed? You know it for sure. Okay, yeah, you're the one. Okay, you're the other one I asked to stand. You can't make it crack? Would it always crack if you did that? Okay, you can make it feel funny, though. If you move certain ways, it feels solid. It's less? Noticeably less. Like, you know for sure it's different. Oh, that's so beautiful. So beautiful. We had a man last week. Had a gash in his heel, and it went closed when two youngsters prayed for it. Like the wound closed. The week before, somebody had two growths somewhere and they disappeared while the kids prayed. It was so good. So yeah, keep checking on that. I feel like that could just leave before you leave here. Anybody else, check your bodies. Don't ever get tired of this. This is just faith, this is believing. We're gonna do one more thing quick and then I'll let y'all go. Check your bodies real good for me. Is there anybody else that would say I'm completely healed? Anybody else? Okay, we're gonna do one more thing. Well, how many people are somewhat, well, you feel healed? Okay. So you got movement you haven't really had, like, no tension, you're not hurting. Did that just happen or had it happened a while back? When they first prayed, you felt a change? Okay. Oh, that's so beautiful. That's just amazing, guys. When it's your body and you know, don't ever get familiar. You don't like think none of this is a, it's always a big deal. Anybody else, real quick, before we do something else? Who here, you're somewhat changed, you just didn't raise your hand because it's not 100%, but you know you're somewhat changed. Let me see who that is. Okay, that's cool. That's a lot of movement. No, that's good. So if your person's still here, because we don't give other people, we like, you're stuck with your person. Your person's plenty. So whoever your person was, raise your hands again. You're somewhat healed. It's just not 100%. Look around. If that's your person, go grab them and say, hey, we're going to pray 5 more seconds. And just pray for them. The rest of you, listen here. We're going to do this. I'm just trying to save some time. Listen to me. Listen. Hey, who here, we prayed and nothing changed up until now. Nothing's changed yet. Let me see your hands. Leave your hand up. Nothing changed. Can you stand up for me so we see you? There's nothing wrong with you. It doesn't put you in the bad category. It's crazy how we tend to think. I just want to know who the people are where nothing has changed yet. Keep your hand up. Is that it? You? I need you to leave your hand up so your person knows you're here. Do you have your person? Young man, is the person to pray for you there? Grab your person. Tell them you need them for 5 more seconds. Is your person there, ma'am? Okay, good. You got your person? Okay. Here's what I need you to do. Are y'all listening? These are the people that nothing changed yet. It's not that you got a quote, but don't change your prayer. That gets worksy. Pray what you believe the first time. Speak to the mountain. Tell it. See, we're not asking God to heal. We're telling the mountain to move.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me? It's different. You're not like, God, please heal. God, please heal. No. You speak to that condition and tell it to go. Just give it 5 more seconds and let's watch and see what happens in this room. This is just the people that nothing changed yet. Go ahead. Go for it. Five more seconds. Pray for him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Man, there's people praying everywhere. Okay, guys, that's good. That's good. I had the other group, too, the people that were somewhat changed. Did anybody get better yet or all the way better since we were praying again? Anybody? Anybody get all the way healed? What's that? You're noticing it change as you're being prayed for? That's beautiful. No, I believe that. Okay, my group that nothing changed the first, all that time up until now, and we just prayed for you. We have about 6-8 people we're praying for. Anything change at all in those people? Any of you? Check them out real good. I'm just looking for any increase, any change. The reason I'm not nervous about doing that, it doesn't change what we believe. It doesn't change how we continue to believe. I just like to see if anything's changing because it helps us to know to never let go, never change our mind. Yeah, good, good. You would just say that your assessment is, I feel better than I was. Okay, good. Yes. Yeah. You don't feel that pressure? Have you ever not felt that pressure? Or is it always there? And you've just become familiar with having it day in and day out your whole life? You can't find that pressure. That's incredible. Did it affect you sleeping and breathing and stuff like that? Yeah. So will tonight help you realize that it's really something super cheap? Okay. Hey, guys, you got to hear this, though. This is cool. So this lady right here, this, what's your name? Laura. Her whole life since a child? Her whole life, as long as she can remember, she's had a deviated septum. She's had pressure and constant infection, sinus stuff, but nonstop pressure. I said, was there any time in your life that you didn't notice it? She said, never. It's been there my whole life. Now, I'm not saying anything about her age, but she wasn't born yesterday. Now, watch this. She has no trace of symptom of pressure, and she's never experienced that in her life. So now she's going to sleep, and we're just going to see how that pans out. Amen? That's beautiful. See, if we stop believing when we don't see something change, we just might shut off what we released. Is there anybody else that's changed a little bit that we didn't see any change in before? Anybody? Everybody seem... No, yeah, you would know. We want you to testify. Now, here's what I want you to do. Whether you're healed all the way tangibly, somewhat, or it didn't change at all, same response in every group. Watch this. You leave here tonight, Christian only ever has one response. If you please take this with you tonight, watch. Father, what you're doing is awesome. You love me, and you're doing a work in me. Thanks for restoring my body. Thanks for making me whole. You just live there. You stay there. You have no, don't, what am I doing wrong? Why didn't I get healed? How come those other people, what am I? Stop that. That has got us in such a mess over the years. You got one response. You love me and you're doing a work in me and thank you for it. That's how you go to bed. That's how you wake up. Amen? Yeah. Amen. All right, God bless you. Do I need to turn it over to you or do you want to close out or? Yeah. Pastor's going to close.